Lord, we thank you. There will come a time in which you will be sent back of the Father. And we believe that that time is ever increasing, getting closer. Just in the natural, Lord, as time goes on, it would be evident that that time frame would be narrowing down. But then all the more, according to prophecy and end time events and all the things that are transpiring on this planet today, and all the more we see the evidence of Him coming. And Father, we're asking you with all of our hearts to ever increase us, not to our glory, but to His glory. And God, I want to tell you, I cannot do this service without you, nor the next one. I can't breathe without you. I can't walk without you. I cannot function without you. I cannot think without you. I cannot get up. I cannot lie down. I cannot do anything, that, Lord, that I'm not holding to you. Holding to you. Father. 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 Father, Father, we love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we've probably got at least one more lesson on Jezebel. But we won't do that tonight. I think we're seven into it, and it's been a terrific series. We've learned a lot of truths, and we've got one or two more. We won't leave you hanging. We're going to tell you what happened to Jezebel and where Jezebel's at presently in the church today, and then we're going to show you what Jezebel's end is. And again, we're not talking about a lady. We're not talking about a specific personality. But we have a whole series on our website that has just in the last couple of months been produced by the grace of God. But tonight, I just got to follow where he's at, and I've not been able to get away from a place in my spirit, especially over the last week, I guess. Candy and I were going into town yesterday. I had to take my dad to a doctor's appointment, and we were just, I think this conversation was yesterday, but we were talking about, she started playing some old Southern gospel, and that may not be your deal. But it was every song by some of the old familiar groups carried something. It was so strong. It was just like one song after the other. She was, you know, of course, pulled them up on her phone, and we were listening through the Bluetooth in the car. But every song was so powerful in the sense that I was reminded, and I'll just tell you that maybe over the next few services, you know, if we download some of those songs and play them, you know, don't be shocked. and don't think, my God, this is lame, or this is old school, you know, throwback. But it is. But the message I saw that one of the things that they had, those old-timers had, and one of the song, the messages of those songs was they were looking for something that was coming. And they weren't living with an expectation of my best life now. And the church was founded on eternal values. In other words, what you would do in this life, and again, you know me, those of you that do know me, I should say, you know that I'm not a, I don't know what the word would be to coin it. I believe in prosperity. I believe a biblical prosperity. I believe in people having things. I believe that's wonderful. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was built on a place of giving it all for the kingdom. Self-denial and not the things of this life, if you follow Scripture and you follow Him, and really this message tonight is all about falling in love with Him more and more and more, then the more you do engage with Him and the more you fall in love with Him, the more dismal, dim, all of everything in this life really becomes and should become. And I'm not talking about being detached to where that, you know, you can't function and you can't carry on a job and you can't have, you know, a few things and a not, but my God, you know, what we're called to. And I think that's the thing. And as I was listening to those songs, and I began to weep, and I thought those old timers, they were so heavenly minded. They were talking about the songs exemplified what was in their heart, and what was in their heart was the same things that we find that Paul and Peter and all them. It was all. It's not about living your life for the now. It's all about living your life for what is to come. And the future of heaven, and all about living our life for the harvest, bringing in as many people into the kingdom as possible. And that all really begins, because you won't get too far if you don't fall head over heels in love with Him and stay in love with Him. Loving Christ is just like a romance. You can fall in and out of love. And you can sometimes that love can be red hot, but it can turn cold just like it was red hot. And not all Christians love Him the same. You can have the DNA, the spiritual DNA of a new nature on the inside of you, and have a ticket to ride per se going to heaven. But it's how much you court Him, and how much you spend, and that courtship is what Candy and I begin to talk about, not our courtship, but His, knowing how much we begin to talk about. Candy was saying in her private time that morning, she began to just ask the Lord to help me, herself, love You more. And I said, and that's amazing, because, I mean, we don't pray together. We pray separately. But I said, over the last several days, that has been the cry of my heart. In that intimate time, I've been asking Him, Lord, I want to love You more. I want to know You more. I want that intimacy to go to a place. I've been close to Him, and I'm not saying what I'm trying to describe to you people is not somebody that's coming from a place where they need to straighten up. I'm just saying wherever I've been, to get to where I'm going, I know that the key to it, the foundation of it, is I've got to fall in love with Him more and more and more and more. And we're going to describe more of that tonight in Scripture, familiar Scriptures, but nevertheless, the Scripture is our foundation for doing that. Let me remind you, and we've been doing this a lot lately, but it'll remind you of what our call is. Our call specifically, now, we go to the Word of God, there is individual calls, but I'm talking about collectively as a church. Our call is to receive a supernatural outpouring for this area. That's what primarily Family Prayer Center is about, to receive a supernatural calling to Immokalee, but really Southwest Florida, for the purpose, the supernatural outpouring, for the purpose of the harvest, getting people born again and getting people spirit-filled and making disciples out of them so that more and more can be produced. Now, to get that done, we learned a long time ago, and we still haven't arrived. You've got to be very, very, very focused. Extremely focused. And the lessons that I teach on a continual basis, the lessons that Homer teaches, exhorts, or goes line on line through the Word of God, is always the Holy Spirit has an agenda. Every service is scripted by God. Even when I don't know what I'm doing, He knows what He's doing. And every service is, if you will attend and be a part of it as much as you possibly can, it's scripted by God. It helps us overall as a body to go forward. Then you as an individual, you'll think, I need counseling. I need some individual counseling to get through what I'm going through. And that may be, that's necessary. I'll talk to a lot of people individually. That's great. But let me tell you something. These services are prophetic. There's things that are said by the Holy Spirit. There's prophetic words given by the Holy Spirit that if you listen, there's answers to your questions. There's answers to the dilemmas in your life. And overall, we lay the groundwork of how to get closer to Him, how to walk out of things. But again, reminding you that we've got to be very focused for this spiritual outpouring. It's a spiritual outpouring. And we would love to do, let me explain it this way, we would love to do a lot of other things. Now I know, I'll just use this as an example. There are ministries and people that feed the poor. How many know Jesus fed the poor? He did. All right. We may do that in the future. That'd be wonderful, wasn't it? Wouldn't it? And what I'm about to say, I'll preface it enough to know that there you know where my heart's at, and most of you already do. In fact, one of my friends that I talked to recently, and I hadn't talked to him, I don't know, 20 years. I knew him back when I was, even before I knew Candy. I don't know, I was 14, 15, 16. Of course, I knew Candy at 16. But I'll just give you his first name, Johnny. He's older than me. I don't know how old Johnny is. Johnny lives in Fort Myers, North Fort Myers. And Johnny was a good friend of a friend of mine's. And then I met Johnny, and Johnny was, he was cool because he was, I was just like maybe 15 or so, 14, 15, just becoming a teenager. Johnny was, he had long hair. He was kind of out of the church, backslidden, but yet he had some real, his mama was a praying mama, and then later Johnny got back in church. Johnny had a long ponytail, but Johnny was cool, man. I mean, I liked hanging around him. He had a Corvette, and I didn't hang so much with a Corvette, but man, he'd talk about it, and then my friend would talk about it, and man, it'd top out at 160, and he didn't mind putting the pedal to the metal. I mean, it was a neat deal, and it was one of those old Corvettes, but he had it tuned up. And Johnny was a dope smoker, and he was cool, and of course, I didn't get into that, but, I thought all his, I thought he was pretty cool and stuff. And then, I wasn't around Johnny for the last 40, years. I mean, it's been, and then I may have talked to him the last 10 or 15, just maybe, I can't remember. But then he called over Christmas and left word that, I knew he was pastoring. And I knew he'd been pastoring for a while, and he's pastoring a church over in North Fort Myers. And he left a message about, it was just me getting back from Tennessee, I think, or I might have been still in Tennessee. And he left a message that they had a big Christmas basket toy giveaway, and did I know anybody out here, they had a whole bunch left over. And I didn't call him back. I was real busy. I didn't know anybody necessary. The Holy Spirit hadn't brought that up in our church. I'll rabbit trail for a moment. I don't just, any time that there's giveaways or whatever, you know, and people say, would you like, you know, a lot of this at your church or some of this at your church? If an elder comes to me and says there's a need over here or something comes up where I hear it, I'll say, yeah, okay, we'll take some of that and we'll distribute it. But I don't just take it. A lot of people just take something because it's being a given away. One of the reasons why I don't just take it and just distribute it, there's so much just being given away nowadays that if you don't watch it, you take away. Now, you might misunderstand this, but I hope you don't. You take away the incentive for people that should be having faith and claiming and asking God to meet their needs according to His riches and glory. If you just take and just say, okay, we're going to give, people will get fat and lazy in the spirit. They'll just say, when are you going to feed me again? But amazing enough, I tell all that story to say this. Johnny said, look, and I didn't know. He said, you know, if you ever have any need, and I'll just pass this along to you, if there's ever somebody that you know, and I don't know how that would happen here in Immokalee, that's just not getting help where they need food or whatever. Johnny says, our ministry is giving away or feeding. He said there were fed between 500 and 700,000 last year. People. That's a lot of people. And I was, man, that's fantastic. And he said, man, anything I can do for you, just, you know, let me know. And he just opened up a world of opportunity for me. And I say all that to say that's a wonderful thing. Feeding, and Johnny may have, I don't know what Johnny's call is, and that's evidently part of his call because there's an anointing on it. But our call people is to the supernatural. It's first to get to know Him, love Him, fall in love with Him, and then He's asked us, you know why we have to be focused? And again, I'm not being facetious, but as far as I know, between government subsidies, government subsidies, food stamps, a number of soup kitchens in Immokalee, and a lot of churches, as far as I know, I have not read nor has it been on the news that no one in Collier County has starved to death in the last year. Now, I haven't heard about it. I haven't heard where anybody in Collier County in the last 10 years that they come in on a home and there was a bunch of kids there and a bunch of people there and they found them and the story was and they were dead and they found them. They couldn't get any help from their friends, their church. The government wouldn't get them any food stamps, or there wasn't a. And I know that sounds real, like, what are you trying to prove, Pastor? I'm telling you this. That particular ministry, or that particular problem of feeding the poor, and there will always be poor, and there will always be people with needs, and there will always be that particular area of the gospel right now in our area is conquered. Well, you say it's, well, no, it has to keep, people have to keep doing it. But that pretty much, there's nobody died of starvation, as far as I know, in Collier County in the last forever. They haven't found any dead bodies, but I'll tell you what they have, I'll tell you what has happened in Collier County in Southwest Florida. There's been a whole lot of people that have died of cancer, who died of a lot of other, there's been a lot of people, if you look at, go to a Hope Hospice, a lot of people have died of incurable diseases. A lot of people have died of things that a feeding program, it wouldn't have helped them. A dollar bill wouldn't have helped them. I mean, if we had, If we had a big bank account and $300,000 or $400,000 in there, that'd be nice. It'd be real nice. But that wouldn't get not a single one of them healed, because most of them got an insurance taking care of all that. It wouldn't. There's only one thing that if somebody will love God enough, see. And I'm thankful for it. I'm so thankful for it. I gotta be careful. I don't want to brag. I just want to be thankful for it. When I see those kids on TV, those bald-headed kids, and a lot of times when I see people around me, I still get a lump in my throat. And I still get a hurt in my belly. And I want the hurt. Do you understand me? I want the hurt. I want the aggravation of saying this isn't right. And a dollar bill won't solve it. And a feeding program won't solve it. And a good government in a church won't solve it. The only thing that'll solve it is if a man or a woman or a bunch of men and a bunch of women will go into a place and see it exists. I know that place exists. I know, as surely as I know that God exists, I know that place exists where the supernatural outpouring of God can be so strong. And here's the thing. Here's where a lot of people don't make it. I know I'm just exhorting right now. We're not line on line, but I know it's proper right now. This is non... The reason why it doesn't work and the reason why you can't hardly get people to go into it is it's non-rewarding up front. It's non-rewarding. I fed kids down in Guatemala, and the most rewarding part, I went down there a couple times, and I was a builder, and I was the guy that was building. And it was wonderful. And those people come up, and they really appreciated, what I was doing. And I was actually putting my physical labor, and I had a lot of guys that really didn't know what they were doing from the church with me, and I was just, I was actually doing stuff, and then I was pointing. But my greatest day of reward was when I stood in line and fed those orphans. Now, God, it tore me up, and I was wanting to bring a whole suitcase full of them back home to Candy. And I can't take Candy down there because she'd get in trouble with the law because she'd try to bring them all back with us. But that was their most rewarding day because I was doing something and I was feeding somebody. Listen, you can spend a whole lifetime in a prayer closet and hardly see the results of it. And that's not, it's so non-rewarding up front. The only reward you get is a promise of the Father on the inside that He's pleased with you. That's usually about sometimes the only reward. The rewards of other things, if a street ministry, and thank God we're going to have a street ministry, you'll get a reward, sometimes an automatic reward inside of you because, my God, you saw something. You feed somebody, you get that immediate reward, you bring them a sack of groceries, and all that is good, and we'll probably have it in the future. But what we're doing right now is so non-rewarding in the natural. And it can be so non-rewarding to your emotions. It can be so non-rewarding that you have to labor and labor and labor. And somebody stands up here, whether it's me or Homer or some visiting minister that we trust, and they continually teach you that this is what He wants us to do. Now, folks, I hope I don't pull the rug out from underneath you. I'm not totally sure that I am. I feel confident, and I'm going to fight like a crazy man to be part of the total revival. But I also might be, I don't know, I might be, Homer might be, the elders in this church may be, we may be a precursor to the next generation that passes a tremendous baton that says, because listen, right now the church is in a world of hurt. It's not as healthy as it has been before in the past. And we are fighting a doctrinal warfare like never before. But that tells me something. That's why, you know, I love that song. That's one of our modern day coming back to earth songs. We're going to play some other old time songs. I think they'll touch your heart in the future. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. There's going to be revival. Time to him is nothing. He thinks a guy like myself, that's 56 next Tuesday, that if I live 100 years, another, you know, 45 more years or so, 44 more years, and pass over a Patan and a bunch of these guys, herd, and build, and stay true, and they keep fighting, at some point, there is going to come such a supernatural outpouring that it's going to be absolutely a mirror image of what was left, and even greater than what was left. And the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, and we're just going to be fighting for it like crazy. But the way that we have to do it is that we, more than ever before, we have to fall in love with him. And I'll tell you, that doesn't come easy to the flesh. Now, I'm just exhorting right now. We'll read. Oh, yeah, we got plenty of time to read. We'll go to the Word in Philippians in just a moment. But I know you're pulling with me because I can feel it. But here's the deal. If you don't fall in love with him, what I'm saying doesn't make sense. Or it becomes such a grudgery. It becomes such a place. And we've been talking the last couple of weeks in services about jump-starting yourself into him. Let me tell you something that we all know. We don't always want to hear. I don't really want to hear it. One of the best things that will begin to disable your flesh and cause you, it'll just happen. I don't know why. You know, I don't like when I see those bald-headed kids because they've had so much chemo. I don't try to work it up because that's emotion, but something, that lump just starts coming, and it's the compassion of God. But I know this. I do know this. At times, it's stronger than others. And I know this, that I could, if I allowed my flesh, I could allow my flesh to get out of prayer. And you know what? When you get out of prayer, the flesh just goes crazy. And then it starts thinking about itself, self-improvement, self this, get that, do this, do that, where am I going? And it's all about me and mine and getting and doing. But one of the things, if you'd like to fall in love with him and you'd like to disable the flesh, yes, it's back by popular demand, that word fasting. Even when your flesh hates it, your spirit is growing on the inside. And you're disabling that part of you're unplugging that part of you, that self-assertion that wants more. And it just, I mean, it mentally will ascend to the fact that, yes, I'd love to see one of those kids healed, and I'd love to see them all. That's a mental ascension, usually. But my God, when your spirit feels like it, I'm not bragging and saying that happens to me all the time. I'm just saying, but when your spirit does a flip-flop and you say, my God, that can't be, that shouldn't be. Pastor, will you get it done? I'm going to do my best. I'm going to fight like crazy. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep fasting. I'm going to keep going forward and teaching you, and home will keep teaching you, and men that we bring in here and women that we bring in here will say, look, you're a bunch of champions. Now look, we understand this. You can go to heaven and not fight for revival. You really can. So this is a self-induced kind of thing. But I can tell you this, you'll never live happier. You'll never live more reward, although there's not an immediate reward, but there's an immediate reward daily just by knowing you're doing what he's asked you to do. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3 for just a moment. I'm going to read out of the King James, and then I'm going to read out of the Amplified. Hallelujah. How many of you love Jesus? I know you do. I can feel it. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So we'll... Why don't we just read? Well, there's... It's like anything else. When you start to teach, you want to back up and back up and back up. We'll look at verse 1 then. Finally, my brethren, this is Philippians 3:1, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Of course, you understand he's not talking about literal dogs. Beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he to be whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he goes into his epitaph of who he was and who, what he wants, the credentials that he once held. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel. We're not going to try to break all this down. I think we have in the past, maybe a number of times. The tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. This is what he did. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Doesn't mean he was blameless. Doesn't mean he was sinless, but it meant he made an... he did the things... in the law that he was supposed to do to have a covering for his sins, like all the sacrifices and the keeping of the holidays and all those kinds of things. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And we've talked about the history of this. The history, if you know the history of this book, and where the possibilities of his writing this and how he wrote it, it even touches your heart all the more. Verse 9 says, And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And this is what Paul is saying out of his heart. I love this. It's one of my favorite portions of the word. He says, that I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, God Almighty in heaven. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And we're going to read that out of the King, out of the Amplified in a moment, because I thought they did a really good job out of that. Because what Paul is saying this is, he's not saying, contextually, he's not saying, I am hoping to attain to the resurrection of the dead, meaning in the last days, if I die and am buried and go to heaven, that I'm going to be part of the end time resurrection. And of course, we've taught on all of that before, and how Scripture breaks that down. But that's not what Paul was saying. I'm not looking for my... He's actually talking about the life that he lives now. Paul, when he was writing this, a resurrection out of the dead, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But he was really, really saying this. The best way to say it, Paul's saying, I want to walk as a living dead man. A living dead man, that every day that I so crucify the flesh, and I don't know if you know, but I believe I know you do. I'm just being facetious. If you don't do it daily, it's tougher. You have to bring Mr. Flesh or Mrs. Flesh under the death of Christ and to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings on a continual daily basis. Now, it's not that you can't, if you go multitudes of days without it, the grace of God will catch you up real quick. Thank God for that. But I'm telling you, the one thing about it is, if you don't crucify it daily or on a real periodical basis, what are you talking about? Well, we teach continually. Prayer is the first place of crucifying the flesh. It really is. And we just mentioned one a few moments ago, and that is fasting. And of course, we may do some lessons on that. We've done dozens of lessons on fasting before in the past. But you can't let it go too quick or too long. You know why? Because if you do, it doesn't want to. It doesn't want to. And the more you let it go, the more it doesn't want to spend the time. And the more it'll nickel and dime you to death. What is that? Well, it will promise you that if you don't make it fast today, it'll promises you you'll do it next week. If you don't make it pray today, it promises you it'll pray tomorrow. And you'll take a false peace. You'll take a, you know, the peace of the flesh can give you peace too. I don't know if you know that or not, but it can. It's a false peace, but the flesh and the brain and the mind can give you a peace too. You can settle things in your mind enough that you can sleep pretty good, but it'll promise you that if I don't pray today, I'll do it tomorrow. And then the next day is, it gets, and my God, it's amazing. It'll have amnesia. It will cause you to forget that it promised you yesterday that you'll do it today. And you'll just think, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And a bunch of tomorrows will turn into a week, and it'll turn into a couple weeks, and it'll turn into a month. And you'll swear to God in heaven that you got a prayer life. And if you were writing it down and how much time, and you say, man, you're real legalistic. No. I'm just trying to help you figure out why things aren't as good as what you think they are. Well, I'm just praying up a storm. I'm believing God, and I'm just walking where I'm supposed to be, and it just don't seem like God's doing anything in my life. It's like I've told you before. I did it the other day, and I got mad again. I don't, you know, I'll be running, 5, 6, 7 miles, and working out and doing all kind of stuff, and I'll get on the scale the next morning, and I hadn't dropped anything. I was like, man. Okay, tomorrow, I'm going to write it all down. And I didn't. I took my notepad in my iPhone, and everything. I just look it up. You know, what is how many calories? I mean, right down to. I wrote right down to strawberries. I mean, 2 strawberries in the granola cereal that I ate and stuff. I mean, I was getting it down to. I realized at the end of the day that the guy that thought he was really, really watching it, thousands. Thousands. You can kid yourself about, you can just say like, man, I've got a metabolism that just can't drop weight. The same way, you can say, I don't know why that God's just not moving on my prayers. Well, to justify God and make you feel better about who he is and why he's not getting more over to you, write things down. How much time did you spend last week? And sometimes you'll come to a conclusion, you'll be like, oh my God, I'm just glad I'm still saved. I'm just glad I'm still saved. I thought I was tearing the world up. Or tearing heaven up, so praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you still love me? Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Lord, you still love me. They may have said it by faith, but verse 10 again. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And this is where I got stuck and went out talking to you about if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either and neither were already perfect. And that right there tells you that he's not talking about an end time resurrection, like I'm you know, when Christ comes back, I'm wanting to make sure that I'm saved and I'm going to be part of that resurrection. He's talking about the here and now in his life and his own personal life, because he says, this is what I want, but I'm not saying I've already got it fully, but this is what Paul said, I follow after, if that by that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. There's a beautiful example there, being apprehended for the purpose of that Christ apprehends us for the purpose of his image being placed in us and being carried out. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I'm going to read 14, 15, and 16, then I'm going to read out of the Amplified in just a moment. But he said, forgetting, do you know what? To be spiritually successful, you have to have a supernatural, in this sense of the word, you have to have a supernatural amnesia. Now, I've talked about another one that's detrimental. But listen, Paul said, forgetting those things that are past. Listen, 2015 is gone. If you didn't pray a bit and you got yourself in trouble by not praying, forget it. Forget it. Paul said, I got to forget. Now, I'm not talking about the Lord doesn't want all Alzheimer's for anybody. No dementia. No lack of mental ability to of recall. But our lack and our inabilities, learn from it. Say, Father, teach me. But once you've learned and said, okay, I know part of the mess I'm in is I brought it on myself. I've just not been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. All right, I'm going to pull myself up. You know you can pull yourself up through him, through Christ. In other words, when I say yourself, you don't have to go get four or five elders to help pull you up. Now, it's always Christ that pulls you up. But just you and him, y'all can go forward. Amen? You don't have to go, would you agree with me? No, you don't have to do that. Just agree with Christ and go forward. So he said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I love this. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. Did you know you were perfect? Wonderful. Everybody say, I am.
In Christ.
Perfect. Okay. As many as be perfect, be thus minded. And I love this. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Verse 16 is real powerful because it says, look, wherever you've got to, hold to that. We're not having the success yet with... Of course, there hadn't been a whole lot of people that have been brought up here that we can show our failure to either. You know what I'm saying? The real hard cases. The blind, the lame, the halt, the dumb, the people in the wheelchairs. We're going to get our opportunities. But wherever we, whatever spirituality that we've come to, it says hold to that. Don't let that go. Advance from there. Now let me read out of the Amplified, because I thought they really did a good job here. This old Amplified, you can see it's about tore up paperback. Tore up pretty good. Hallelujah, Ephesians. Philippians coming up. All right. Where are you? 2, 3. Okay. Now just listen to this, because this is what, and I thought they did a really good job, pretty good job here, a real good job. In verse 9, Paul says this in Philippians 9, and that I may actually be found, and know as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own. Based upon my obedience to the law's demands, rituals, uprightness, and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine right righteousness which comes through the faith in Christ, the anointed one, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. For my determined purpose is that I may know him. And folks, when it's talking about knowing, it's talking about intimacy. This is what I'm getting across to you tonight, and you're hearing and you're listening and you're pulling. I feel that, but you've got to all the more say, Lord, I mean, this, you don't have to. I'm encouraging you to say, if we're going with God, if we're going to go any place in 2016, the groundwork of it is our love for him, because everything else pales in that. It really does. Everything else pales in it. You can be going through a hard time. I mean, you can go through a hard time where some people just quit, and people, you know, the only alternatives is go get drunk or commit suicide. You can go through such, or you can go to, you can have a hard time circumventing around you and fall in love with Jesus and just say, man, I really should be, mentally it makes sense to really be worried about this, but I'm just so in love with Jesus. I know he's going to carry me through. I know he's going to carry me through. So, Paul says, for I've determined purpose that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you more strongly and more clearly, it says, that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, to his death, in the hope that if possible I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Even while I'm living in the body, that I'm lifted up out of this thing, that I live daily in a place where I love him, and that I'm understanding and I'm fellowshipping with his sufferings. Listen, contextually, I will tell you this. If you read Philippians, if you read those four chapters, you know part and major part of his sufferings was not just his physical sufferings at the end of his life in that last 24 hours, but it was his continual giving himself over to death, even the death of the cross, which meant daily he gave himself over to the Father. In his humanity, he had to continually die. The fullness of deity was there, but in his humanity had to continually die and take up his cross. What he was teaching, he was doing. He was taking up his he was going to take up a cross, but daily he was taking up a dying process that, Father, not my will, thy will be done. But listen, presently, that's contextually there, and it's that's the heart of that thing, and we have to do, but listen, another part is of his sufferings is this, not just the choices that we have to make, but a part of the sufferings that we feel. Listen, when you look at a kid in a wheelchair, when you look at as I said, and not making light of it, I think you saw my heart or know my heart, feeding programs and all those kinds of things, they're wonderful. God, Jesus did them. But here's the deal. Again, nobody died of starvation in Collier County last year, but a lot of people died of cancer. We may not, I'm not saying we're the only ones, but my God, is there anybody that will take up the cause, even if it's non-rewarding, to say, perhaps, maybe, with real faith, we're saying this more so, there's a place in him where people can go in there behind, well, the curtain's already been, you know, there is no, but we're talking about going to the holies of holies, pull out power. Now we're teaching how to do that, how to live holy, how to walk into him, but it starts in falling in love with him. And I love the way that Paul, you know, the Amplified said this. Again, if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out of from among the dead, even while in the body. Not that I have now attained this ideal or am already made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold on me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured or made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my own aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to that which lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And as I said before, and we've done teachings on it, which is very powerful, that word press, if you look it up in the Greek, and you don't have to be a Greek scholar, just go to your Strong's. If I had the number, I'd tell you. You can go to your Strong's Concordance. And I mean, most people have them on their smartphone now. That word press is the word persecute. And Paul basically was saying, I persecute towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. What he was saying is, look, he knew he was once a persecutor. Now he is sanctified in Christ. He's saying, look, if the flesh tries to rise up, I will do whatever is necessary to steamroll over it. I don't care if one fast wasn't enough. I don't care if two fasts were enough. Whatever it is that is in this damnable flesh. Now, the flesh, God loves your body. God wants to sanctify it, and God will live out of it. But this body is not going with us to heaven. We're going to take up a heavenly body. And it has the capacity to sin. It has the capacity. It doesn't mean we have to sin. It just says that we know we have the capacity. Now, I'm going to read this, and we'll close. But I did a rough draft on this, and I just did it and printed it out, and I'm going to have to kind of strain a little bit because I'm not sure. There may be a few words that it didn't, you know, as I was dictating it in, didn't type out correctly, and I didn't go back and really review all of it. But as I said earlier, I'm not trying to pull the rug out, and I do believe that we're part of the last generation. I do believe that. But I do know how quickly time is passing. And I love, Candy and I've got grandkids. We just love them to pieces. I love all of you guys. I love what I'm doing. I love this church. But at the same time, I'm wanting to go home to be with the Lord. And I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I'm not, you know, I love life. I travel. I do things. I do things with brother. And I'm not, I've got other hobbies. I love sports. I love, you know, I'm not just like, you know, monk in a monastery. But I tell you what, there's something inside of me that says we're going home, and we better get real narrow-minded about where we're going and what we have to achieve. Because it's the greatest thing in this life is to know Him. And we're the world, this is election year. I'd like to say there's somebody good going in there. I don't know that there is. You know, boy, you're really not confessing that. No, you know what? A lot of stuff that's going to happen, we can't stop. Some stuff we can. There is going to be a great revival. The dichotomy is this, or the paradox is this, is there's going to be a tremendous falling away, and it's already happening, And there's also going to be a great gathering. Now, you can find that out of the scripture. And as I was thinking about that, I was seeing this. I didn't see a vision. I was seeing this vision within myself as I was dictating this yesterday. And I envisioned it as heaven, and I envisioned it as a tour guide that was taking people through a tour guide, whether it was a patriarch of heaven or an angel. I wasn't making that up in my mind of who that could possibly be, but I seen a tour guide, or I imagine a tour guide, and he had, you know, like you'd go from place to place, like if you were visiting the Biltmore House or some place historic, and he went into a place where the annals of heaven were at. And the Bible does say there are books. Now, there's a Lamb's Book of Life, and then it said in other books, I believe is one scripture in Revelation. So there are books, and there are angels that are literally inscribing things. Now, there, you know, we think of writing, and it takes a look. If an angel is writing it, there's not a computer on the planet that writes any faster than those guys. I mean, they, you know, you can, everything that I've said, they could have written it down, and they're just like, you know, to them, they're like, he's moving so slow, you know, I mean, you know, so everything, you know, so there's a recording. But what about where we're at? What about where this church is at? What about any church like us that says we want to go into the supernatural? Now, all of us that know that hell stands between us and the supernatural. We know that. We're not scared, but we know that. But as I saw this unfolding, just listen. I hope it kind of touches you or ministers to you in a thought process of by the Holy Spirit. Just thinking that we may not be the last generation, but we may be a precursor to hand over to these guys and others to the next. A survey of the annals of heaven, like if somebody brought him in and he opened up the book, and maybe they weren't the generation that was present, maybe where they were earlier generation, but they were listening, and this person began to read, or this angel began to read, and he would say something like this. It says here that in the early 21st century, that a great war was fought on earth. And all these people are listening, and they're very intent on what is being read, this history. The dragon conspired for centuries to bring forth his greatest deception. He began to try and destroy the very foundation, which was to rearrange the Word of God and preach a doctrine that totally destroyed the truth. Society began to have no clear distinctions between what was right and what was wrong. The very core of the family was rearranged to believe in same-sex marriage. The gateway that gave this all promise, permission, and power was the church. The greatest culprits were the ministers that began to teach the church a promiscuous lifestyle that turned and gave the world no distinction of the truth and the reality of the righteousness of God. This wave brought forth a great apostasy in the church. It later gave way to the very entrance of the Antichrist himself. In the midst of the war, a remnant across the globe was raised up. People that sought only the very truth of the Word of God and would not relent in the midst of darkness. The rise of people gave way to the last day revival. This rise of people gave way to the last day revival, in which signs and wonders were poured out in an unprecedented fashion, in an undeniable fashion, that brought great waves of multitudes into the kingdom before the second coming of Christ. The Lamb was so pleased in the Father himself with a generation that had never seen the fullness of the power of the supernatural. And yet, without sight, they forged on, confessing and fasting and believing for something they had never seen. Some of the original ones that sought taught others and built a foundation so strong it was carried to the next generation that produced in fullness. Nevertheless, both the beginning and the end of the generations received the crown of righteousness. And of course, I'm reading my notes here. They entered into received the crown of righteousness, and entered into the Lamb's book of. And this was entered into the Lamb's book of recordings. Folks, it doesn't matter where we're at. If we're the last one or the one that is preceding the last one, we've got to fight for this. And we've got to love Him more than we've ever loved Him before. And we've got to take toll of ourselves, because there's a war, and the war's in the church. And we just love everybody to pieces. And we're not trying to pull down. We're just saying, in a time when we're going to look back, something like this could be read and said, look at the history on this. My God, there were people that forged forward. They had never seen a revival, but just on the blatancy of the black and white of the Word of God, they said there is a place where you can lay hands on the sick and you can raise the dead. And those people also conformed to a doctrine, or stayed in a doctrine of righteousness, and they would not give way to the popular, even though when it cost them great things. And it eventually gave way to the rise of the last day revival. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I appreciate it. Let's all stand together. Father, we love You, and we praise You, and we thank You for all of Your goodness. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days, that we may go into You. Lord, the hours that, or the time, whatever time anyone in here spends tomorrow, however long that is, it may seem unrewarding to them. It may seem dry. They may not get happy. It may be harder at the end of the prayer time than it was at the beginning. But Lord, when we choose to throw ourselves into the fire, or throw ourselves into the mix and say, Lord, I want to love You more. I want to have more. Because ultimately, I want to be used by You. There is no way to describe to any of us, except supernaturally, how pleased You are with that. Father, touch them. Raise up a standard in their life. Let this word go deep into their hearts, and to the hearers of the nations that will hear this through the website. We love You. We bless this people in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. No Friday night. If you show up here Friday night, you're on your own. We'll see you Sunday and Sunday night. Amen. God bless you.